Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
Oh, hot diggity dog. We're back with more Royal Rumble 18.
I think it's only fair to say, everyone, we have had a little bit of beer.
We have had a little bit of beer. We had one Dam Astrea.
Yeah, really nice. I've not drunk for a long, long time.
Right.
I'm really, really enjoying the mellow buzz and slight burning cheeks that I've got off, I would say, a third of a bottle of beer. How nice. It's worth saying, because, you know, these things can never be said enough. Right. We're almost at the end of this pandemic, aren't we? This is the start of the end.
Oh,
I hope
people are going to lose their minds.
Oh, it's going to be.
It's going to. We hit. Horrible. I think somebody worked out that that June, whatever the day, 18th, 20th,
21st. I think it is
21st, 22nd. England are playing in the Euros. Like, why would you even?
It's going to be like 1996 all over again.
Shall we just not do this?
When I was
we
in
know
Leeds,
what happens
during Euro '96. Mm. I was up at university there, and they there was one of the big matches. I forget what it was. And Euro '96 was the first time. Like, I think people were going, actually, this team is something really, really special.
Yeah.
And the longer it went on, the more confident you became. Normally what happens is everyone's very, very confident when you build up to a Euro or a World Cup until the first match, at which point then, everyone just goes, oh, shitting hell. And the Euros was the only one that's really been like, my God, we seem to be getting better every single match.
Yeah.
And I think about maybe the third match in Euro 96, I remember being in Leeds on a scorching hot like June day, absolutely beautiful. And people were so excited, they'd all gone out and started pushing a bus to and fro, a double decker. It was rocking. I'd say a good 6 feet on either side.
Yeah.
And everyone cheering.
Easily could have fallen over.
Easily, easily. And I remember all I could see was when it was going over, I was going, this is brilliant. And I saw the bus driver's arm come out of the window and he just gave a thumbs up. Thumbs up to everyone rocking his bus. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it was
fantastic. It's
going to
be. I have a bit of a nervous feeling about how mental everyone is going to go.
London riots part two, baby.
It could be, couldn't it?
London riots part two.
It could be people just. It's one of those things as well where it's a little bit like New Year's Eve, but, you know, for a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah.
A few New Year's Eves ago, maybe 10 years ago, my neighbour was playing music very, very loudly, and it was about 1 o'clock, and I did go down. It's when I lived in a block of flats. I went down. I said, sorry, I don't want to be a pain and everything. I said, could you turn your music down a bit? It's like, you know, 1:30.
Yeah.
And he went, it's New Year's Eve. And I went, turn your fucking music up. I was so angry. And it was scary. It was scary for us both. I definitely lost control. But I think it's going to be like that. And I don't just mean like people playing music. I mean me running around, losing my shit, screaming at people, settle down. It's going to be awful.
Yeah.
Talking of awful, let's have the last of the dark matches from the Royal Rumble 2018. Bobby Roode versus Mojo Rawley took place. Originally, this was going to be the culmination of SmackDown's US title tournament, which was won by Bobby Roode. For some reason, they decided to bring that forward and then not have it on the Royal Rumble. So he'd won the belt like 3 days before.
Right.
And he defended against Mojo Rawley. Bobby Roode had come up through NXT. He'd had a long career prior to joining WWE in TNA. One of those guys who he went to NXT and he was really the first one to go there who wasn't a stellar in-ring performer. Very charismatic, looked absolutely great, but he was more like an Attitude Era star in that his wrestling was never going to be 5-star. Mm. He was a solid 3-star man. They were very, very keen on him because he looked great. He had a sort of slight look of Rick Rude about him.
Yeah.
They also dressed him as Ric Flair. So he had a slight, even when he was coming through, a bit of a cosplay element that meant you couldn't quite get behind him. What he did have was he had an amazing theme tune, and it was a song called Glorious, and it would go Glorious, and there was some things, and he'd slowly rotate in his thing, and everybody loved that. And it made him seem like a massive star until the bell rang, at which point everyone was like, I am going to get a Coke now. And everyone just left. Glorious, the theme tune that he used, was actually first offered to Shinsuke Nakamura.
Right.
But he said, no, I don't really want it. I want something a bit better. And he got one that also, you know, it became a proper iconic wrestling theme.
Yeah.
Amazing that those two were just sort of churned out by someone, you know, in that small period. They came up with two that really sort of stood the test of time. He takes on Mojo Rawley here. There is nothing really to say about this match. I mean, Mojo Rawley gets a Mojo Sucks chant. That kind of heat that people just don't want to see him rather than they're like, I mean, you know, invested in you and in being a bad guy. It ends quite badly as well, where Bobby Roode hits a DDT, which was his finishing move, and the commentators just go, oh, he didn't get all of it. Oh, he got enough of it, they say. I mean, it's just an embarrassing sort of thing about... Being a commentator must be really difficult not to throw those things out there that are immediately contradicted.
Yeah.
You know, what you've done there is you've gone, that looked shit. He won't pin him. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Kind of like the way that the women's match ends in the women's Royal Rumble ends a little bit. And you're like, oh,
really does,
no.
Yeah.
And then they have to spend the rest of the time picking the camera angle that doesn't show the slight naff context.
Yes. The commentators, you know, you can oddly... It's one of those things about people say commentary can't really ruin a match, but what it can do is make a great match even better. I do think it can ruin a match. it didn't ruin this one. This one was never going to be good. Mm. So then we get to the main event itself, the actual pay-per-view, Royal Rumble 2018, is the road to WrestleMania 38. Mm. When they start saying, like, the road to WrestleMania 38 starts here, it does give a little indication that anything that happens between May and December, really sort of not massively relevant in the canon. Not really, you don't need to see it. Yeah. The credits here, big close-ups of everyone's faces. And you are very used to seeing the men big. Mm. But what I sort of was aware of watching this, you're not used to seeing the women very, very big.
Mm.
And what I noticed here is that they often have like very, very strong makeup. And they have that makeup because when they're performing, you're performing to an arena of 17,000 people.
Yeah.
You want to look recognizable to, you know, as many people as you can. So it's quite sort of basic and quite sort of full-on makeup. And what it meant was when they did close-ups, everyone looked a bit like Jigsaw, the puppet that used to, like, you know, torture people. Mm. It was quite sort of full-on. It was a bit nightmarish, the whole thing. This is the event that has the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. The women's revolution was very much going here. They still can't quite fully commit to it. So when you get the little sort of like recap of who's in this rumble, the women don't get the sort of, you know, straight out, you know, nuts to the guts rock and roll. what they get is quite sort of like, you know, intense and aspirational pop.
Right, yeah.
Which is, you know.
Well, I think Aloe Black did the men's song and Little Mix did the women's song.
Yeah.
Which tells you everything you need to know about.
Doesn't
One's
it?
Aspirational, soulful pop music and the other one is Little Mix. Sorry, the other one is Aloe Black. Yeah. But, you
know. I do actually like Little Mix. Yeah. I'm not, you know, I like them personally.
We ended with you romancing a French actress. And now 5 minutes into this show, you're talking about how much you like Little Mix.
Little Mix to me.
I will not have this turned into a...
Little Mix to me, though. I mean, they are like sort of, I don't know, not even like sort of children. They're just like something from just another world.
They look like Bratz dolls.
They do.
And they've got big hair, big heads.
Could you imagine what you talked to them about? If you met Little Mix very briefly, I just don't think we'd have any frame of reference.
There was a lass in, what were they bloody called? Neon Jungle. There was a band called Neon Jungle, and they, I think, were owned by, I want to say, Bauer Corporation. Mm. And so when I worked for Absolute, you would occasionally sort of see at do's and stuff, they would have a collection of their own artists coming on doing their thing in front of the radio lot. And one of them was Neon Jungle. And I remember interviewing them at backstage at V Festival. And this is as close as I'll ever get to a girl band. People have made it very clear about that. And it was It was a fun interview, but I did feel about 100 years old.
It's difficult, it's
nothing,
isn't it?
I've never been to Dubai. no. I don't know the words they use.
No.
It's confusing.
I don't look at like online sort of clothes places. Is that a thing? I don't know. I had a chat with Dappy from N-Dubs once at some sort of like live show where they were performing. And I'd been put in a room with them to sort of go, this is what you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
And, you sort of try and, you're all right, mate. How's it going? And they're like, yeah, nice. Yes. And I was like, oh, are you from Camden? He's like, oh, you're from Camden. I was like, no, I live in Archway. And he was like, Camden. And it was just that sort of thing of, we were both trying.
Yeah.
We just couldn't quite find what it was.
No.
Until at one point, I said, I think my dad went to school with you. It's still going really badly. Same year, obviously. I said, I think my dad went to...
That would be an amazing line to really disarm him. His head would explode.
My dad was in your year. How old are you? 42. Really confusing. I said, my dad went to the same school, I think, that you went to. And he went, what, Quentin Kynaston? I went, yeah, Quentin Kynaston in, Finchley Road, like that. And he went, what does your dad do?
He's in N-Dubs.
I said, well,
my dad.
I said, he's a retired accountant. He went, accountant? He said, tell you this, N-Dubs, I've got enough respect for accountants.
Like that. You don't speak for the rest of N-Dubs.
We had a little chat about accountancy. Funny the common ground you can find, isn't it?
We all need accountants.
Yeah. God knows it'd be much better world if we didn't. We go into AJ Styles taking on a handicap match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Mm. Corey Graves as well, when we meet him in this bit.
I don't like him.
He does the namaste hands, doesn't he, as well? So they go, meet Michael Cole, here's Byron Saxton and Corey Graves. And Corey Graves goes, namaste.
He looks like a man who does... dodgy yoga. Dodgy yoga and go steal your girlfriend kind of chap.
Yeah.
Chap.
He could be a pornographer, couldn't he? He could be one of those guys who...
Like a new pornographer.
A new pornographer. Working with, you know, quite damaged girls. You know, I mean, who isn't damaged in pornography?
Yeah. But, who isn't damaged in wrestling?
Yeah, exactly.
But whenever I see Corey Graves, I think, I'm not going to have a nice time. I don't know what it is.
No.
He's just the importance of like of a part of wrestling that I'm not enjoying. Yeah.
I would say I don't ever think I've met anyone who does namaste that hasn't either turned out to be a horrible person or, you know, I suspect was a horrible person. I can't definitely, I mean, Corey Graves, there is some funny stuff about him.
Right.
You know.
We'll get to upsetting stuff.
No, sort of. I mean, you know, there was just. I haven't looked at it enough to be able to do it justice.
Okay, let's move on then. Let's move. Oh, just,
I made it sound dodgy. It was,
no, it's not dodgy.
I mean, it's not dodgy. I think, you know, he broke up from his wife, but there was just a thing where he'd put up a tweet before his relationship with Carmella, the superstar, was revealed.
Right.
He'd put up a tweet along the lines of, you know, I'd love nothing more than, like, you know, beautiful, like, crisp shirt and socks and everything. And there was a reply to it along the lines of someone just going, then you might not want to go on Twitter tonight because your wife is there in your dirty laundry. And I forget what the story was. It was nothing bad. But there's always been that thing again where I sort of look at Corey Graves and I sort of go, yeah, you know, you
we've all got a backstory, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've all got a private life.
Yeah. worth saying, there is always going to be in the crowd someone from Britain, of course.
Yeah.
Within seconds of this pay-per-view starting, there's a guy holding up in the front row, come on you Spurs.
Why does he need to do that? What made him think? I mean, what years are turning? I mean, they were going all right, but I mean, it's just
always a British person. Always a British person.
But they have to sort of go, seat. I have to do this because no one will know that I'm British. Doesn't matter whether they do. You're just a blob.
Why wouldn't you go, well, I'll go into the wrestling, so I'm going to put up a thing for the wrestler I like, because they'll see it.
Yeah.
But that whole thing about going, come on, you Spurs.
Yeah. I'd rather be watching Spurs.
Would you be down White Hart Lane, my friend, holding up a little bit that says...
I love Sami Zayn.
Or namaste, Corey Graves.
Yes, I would now. Yeah. Now I would. Yeah, there's also a bloke dressed in Where's Wally outfit as well. You see constantly.
I know that.
And it's just like, it's funny for the first 5 minutes, but now you're just going to be too warm, aren't you?
If only he wasn't like in the early sort of front row. And you only saw him twice during the broadcast, you'd be like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But he's actually got seats that are much too good.
Yeah.
So he is just there continuously through.
The thing that gets me is that I bet Vince McMahon is, you know, backstage with his little, in his little kind of mobile command unit in the mixing desk. I imagine he's really pissed off.
I think he would think, is this one of those hipsters? Is this one of those? Probably heard of Corey Graves, and, you know, with the tattoos and the suicide girls.
Who's
and
that? Is that cyberpunk?
Becky Lynch would like that.
is that a cog thing?
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, two really, really reliable, always good performers. Mm. At a point in their careers here where they're beginning to sort of go, if we work incredibly hard, there is a good chance that we could end up in the proper main event.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't understand how it works. they come out. They are so over with the Philadelphia crowd. Yeah. They are properly... It's a lovely... Philadelphia famous for being a raucous and really passionate wrestling fan base. And as a city, I think people love performing there. Mm. Its most famous wrestling connection is with ECW, which always took place. Philadelphia was their home base. And they just love to see Zayn and Owens. Properly exciting. They treat them as well like real heels, where it's just the men's, you know, fantastic.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the Luke and Pete Show, Luke introduced me to some bizarre animal warfare.
In the 70s, there was a... I can't remember going to say this, but I promise you it's true. There was a war, an actual war, between rival chimpanzee clans that went on for over 4 years.
Meanwhile, on abroad in Japan, Chris is facing off against a natural disaster.
So the same day that I'd run out of fuel, right, I was like, well, I made it in one piece. Thank you, God. And then, like, 5 hours later, the worst earthquake I've ever experienced. It was a 15-storey building shaking from side to side. It went on so long, I was like, this hotel's coming down, and I don't want to be in it when it does.
Listen to Abroad in Japan and the Luke and Pete Show, available on your favourite podcast player.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
Out comes AJ Styles, and he comes out. Risky strategy here, which is they have a blue light on. Which I just think I would, I mean...
I don't know what's on me. Like, I got dogs and I sometimes look down and I go, what is that? I mean, I've just got some dirt on me. I'm a dirty boy.
Before I came out tonight, my daughter had had some yogurt and she'd like put her hands in it and go, like that. And this is the one time where she's gone, I'm now going to give you an unbidden hug.
Yeah.
And she raced over and the hands were there. I was like, oh, shit. If I'd have come out AJ Styles there, it just would look like, oh... He's got spunk everywhere.
Namaste.
Oh, someone's rubbed it all into his belly.
You're right, it's risky.
Very risky.
I like that in this match, Kevin Owens looks like he... Kevin Owens looks like he owns a lot of ATVs, but AJ Styles looks like he owns a lot of ATVs, but rents them out. He looks like a local businessman who just happens to have a lot of ATVs.
He's got a look in this of Kevin Owens of being a mix of Desperate Dan and Dennis the Menace, where he's a sort of, he looks a bit like Nasher as well, really sort of strange combo of Beano characters.
Do you think that every wrestler owns an off-road vehicle?
I don't
think there can be any wrestler. There's rarely a city-based wrestler who lives in like an apartment in a big old
That's
building.
That's true. I don't think there are any city wrestlers in America. I think they are. As soon as they get money, of course, they just go, let's get a ranch.
Ranch, and so you end
up like Andre the Giant on his ATV. You know, he had his little red one that he loved so much. And, you know, Austin, obviously, you know, huge on it. Would The Rock must have one.
I just don't think
he'd drive one because it makes, you know, he's got better things to drive.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But yeah, huge on ATVs. Yeah. Maybe Hogan. Hogan's the sort of guy. I bet his knees won't bend to the side.
Yeah, maybe. Hogan, he's probably more into aqua pursuits. Yeah,
completely.
He probably likes bashing around on a little boat.
I should imagine the thing he likes most is the inflatable banana that goes behind the thing. You sit on that and he goes, whoa, dude, put me down like Andre the Giant, dude. You know, tiresome day out without Coke. And Hulk, have you got any suntan oil? Because we've been out in the water for a long time.
No, brother.
I'm like old tanned leather. I'm actually sweating.
Salmon skin. I got salmon skin.
Touch it. Oh, it's boiling and rough. Oh dear. Let's go and watch my sex tape. No, I want to go home now. They have a sort of angle going on here where Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are talking about being co-champions. Mm. So they want to win the belt and then they will share it.
Yeah.
And that as an angle is a great angle, but it's really an angle you only really talk about when they've won it.
Yeah.
Because then you can go, rather than talk about it, we'll show you the problems we run into. And obviously it will build to a bit where we eventually, you know, split up or lose it and then we'll have a feud. And instead here, if you just talk about it and then it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen because AJ Styles ends up winning, I'd just sort of go, they've been talking about this for a long time and now it's just over. it just comes to an end. If you're going to like talk about something and not do it, don't go, we're going to be co-champions. Go, if we win this match, I am going to eat it. And then the other one goes, all right, if we win this match, I'm going to set you on fire and I'm going to pull out my own eyes. You know, really?
Yeah, make it big. Yeah. It's like if the Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson and Milhouse and all of his, and I think Martin, went to buy that comic book.
Yes.
And they spent ages talking about splitting it three ways, how they were going to divvy it up, and then didn't buy the comic book. Yeah. You're like, what is this? Why? We talk about the comic book you never bought.
Yeah.
What is this teaching us?
It is a weird thing to sort of go, we can get as much enjoyment out of the co-champions thing as by not doing it as we could by doing it. Yeah. And I do not think that's true.
Do you remember that episode where Michael Scott in The Office and another man both became managers in The Office, except they didn't do that. They just decided. Basically, I watched an episode of The Office where they both became co-managers, Jim and also Michael from The Office. It would have been good if they talked about it and they never did it. It was what's the point? Yeah. Who wrote this?
Yeah, why didn't you just show rather than sort of like promise and tell? I don't get it. Zayn and Owens, they're great performers. Mm. And AJ Styles is also a great performer. And at this point, he's really got that thing of going, I think they're going to make me the main guy here.
Yeah.
I'm the champion and I'm now at the Royal Rumble doing handicap matches where I go over the two hot heels. Mm. It's just, you know, they are such talent in this match. And the crowd love and respect all of them. It's a magic sort of thing. There's some bits where Sami Zayn does a blue thunderbomb on AJ Styles, and it's a one and a two, and the way the crowd are counting, they could have done a three and the crowd would have done a massive pop. Instead, they AJ Styles kicks out and they go, oh, but it's that thrilling thing where you go, the crowd like AJ Styles a lot, they like Zayn, they like Owens, and they don't mind who wins. Mm. They just want to see what happens. And it's a really sort of exciting thing to see with a hot crowd. It's one of those matches, I think, that has probably been similar versions been done, you know, throughout wrestling history, but they only ever work when the crowd are really into it. And yeah. this is one of those rare ones where they've happened to film it. It's on a big stage and the crowd are really, really into it. Mm. It's so exciting. The difference that the audience makes. We know this in the post-lockdown world, that wrestling without an audience is not anything half as good. That the audience are this missing piece of a puzzle that we didn't realize if you took it out, it made wrestling very, very different. And what you see here is the importance of that crowd. When you watch it here, you go, God, the crowd are making me more interested and more excited by this match. Thrilling.
Like Sami Zayn does a move and then he's pumping up the crowd by celebrating before he's even finished the move. It's so good.
It really is, you know. really good. Styles gets the pin. The problem with it is Styles wins and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have lost. But they lose completely fair and square. Mm. There isn't a bit where there's a miscommunication between them and Sammy accidentally hits Owens and then AJ Styles rolls him up, which would be the traditional way of doing it. They just go, AJ Styles has beaten these two men. They came along, they were absolutely no excuses. He took them both on and he won and they lost. And there is a slight thing about going, that's sort of damaging for Zayn and Owens as your big stars. It's a funny thing, handicap matches. And when you have someone like AJ Styles who is having to fight two people, the odds are against him and everything. Yeah, it's his struggle. To have him then sort of just win for no reason is a bit damaging. And you sort of should have gone, well, why didn't you just have him take on one? And then you could have had him take on the other at a later point. And that's double the amount of things we can do. Mm. So I watched that and I just sort of thought, oh, the end was a bit of a mistake, but hot match, exciting.
Yeah.
Next match, again, problem ending. But this one is not hot at all. This is SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin in a 2 out of 3 falls match. I am glad to see Shelton Benjamin back. I'm not so glad to see him being used again, like this. Badly, and squandered. The Usos come out. They are also beginning to find their feet now. They're no longer this sort of just happy-go-lucky sort of young men tag team.
Right.
It's always a slight sort of sense that WWE tries to make them a bit like Abercrombie and Fitch.
Right, okay.
That they were a bit sort of, they wear white tank tops and then they're not bros, they're cool, but they're still just these two modelly boys. Mm. And what you get here is that they begin becoming obsessed with prisons.
Yeah, they talk about being, everyone's in Nye Prison. Sponsored by Rocket League, and they talk
about welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Yeah,
and
Uso in my prison. You're so in my prison.
This ain't merch. This is a lifestyle. He says, "I will say merch is my lifestyle." So it meant nothing to me.
Yeah,
but welcome to the Uso Penitentiary is one of those lines that when you sort of again try and break it down, didn't quite work. Are you saying that the ring is your prison? And you are the warden of the prison?
Yeah.
So you're going to keep, everyone in the ring?
Is it like, or maybe they could just see every, it's like, is it Foucault's prison? Where you can see every, they can't see you.
Right.
But you can see into every cell.
You've got the centre column.
Yeah. Is it that?
Is it that? I mean, you can't see me, different guy. Can't nick that. But whatever they said it, you know, again, I suppose it's because they're going, we are in charge and we are going to give you a beating.
Yeah.
Right? But the ring still isn't a penitentiary because you're not attempting to keep people there set amount of time.
I mean,
you'd be like, I want to release you from it because that means you're going back.
Yes.
Away.
Yeah. Because Royal Rumble, even if they're in the Royal Rumble proper, I mean, you've got to get them over the top, haven't you? So like...
Yeah. It's jailbreak.
Yeah. It's jailbreak.
I was trying to think of a word for royal beginning with J so I could say that. Jailbreak.
Right.
But sometimes explaining the joke is just as funny.
Jubilee.
As being quick-witted. Yeah, the Jubilee jailbreak. If you can edit out the previous bit, coming in there. The Usos come out, they're in cricket whites as well, which is another thing, which I mean, I suppose in America you don't go the cricket whites.
Well, it's very, I mean, I just sort of think that it's just very risky. It's just very, if they poop their pants even a little bit, you're going to see them.
And
one of their trousers keep falling down, amusingly. It's like when the Divas used to wrestle and their boob nipple areola is often almost on vision and they're just constantly, they take a
readjusting
move and they're completely destroyed, but hand goes up and pulled it. He keeps on doing it.
Maybe.
Keep on doing it.
Maybe, is it a penitentiary where, I don't know. I'm not saying. I don't know. They surely didn't mean that.
What? What do you mean? As in,
Is one of them exchanging sexual favours for cigarettes?
Prison hooch?
Prison hooch.
Pills, spice.
The Usos need to provide us with answers.
They do. And
is it government funded?
Is it one of those super prisons that's for profit that make license plates?
Is Abu Hamza in it?
Is Abu Hamza in there?
Are we going to see a cameo from Abu Hamza?
The what I liked and didn't like about the fact, it's weird that they got to use the mic and the people who were there didn't. They do like a mic drop at the end, and it's like, those things are expensive. I don't care how, like, you know, I know how expensive a good microphone is. Yeah. It's pricey. And I was like, I was wondering like where the mic drop started.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it comes from like 80s rap or whatever. But obviously the thing that brought it to popular kind of culture was probably Obama doing it in 2012.
Gotcha.
And I read it. And apparently, I did completely miss this because it's a funny story. 2016, part of an April Fool's Day joke, Google introduced a mic drop option in Gmail, right? It allowed users, so pathetic, allowing users to send a GIF of a minion dropping a microphone as a reply to any email. If used, the feature prevented the sender from seeing any subsequent replies that the recipient sent, right? Right? It was removed within hours after Google received complaints from some users. Honestly, it's right next door to the send. And it says send, I think, and it just has a microphone. It makes no sense. Like, people were clicking it left, right, and center and missing every reply that came afterwards. One who posted on the company's Gmail help forum wrote, "Thanks to Mic Drop, I just lost my job. I'm a writer and I had a deadline to meet. I sent my articles to my boss and I never heard back from her. I inadvertently sent the email using the Mic Drop send button."
Oh, that's unbelievable.
"There were corrections that needed to be made on my articles and I never received her replies. My boss took offence to the Mic Drop animation of the minions doing a mic drop and assumed that I didn't reply to her because I thought her input was petty, hence the Mic Drop. I just woke up to a very angry voicemail from her, which is how I found out about this hilarious prank." I completely missed that at the time. It was 2016. I don't know how I managed to do that.
That's amazing.
Wonderful.
What's amazing about it is actually that thing about going, it's a mic drop, but when you sort of go, you can no longer apply to me. That's just,
yeah,
that's just blocking someone with a minion. Oh, with one button. Blocked. I don't know what it is, but I like minions.
Oh, so yeah, don't do mic drops. Boring.
Do you know what? When people say mic drop now, I only think of Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys.
What did he do?
He did a excruciating Brits sort of chat where...
Oh, that rings a bell, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Looks like that old rock and roll. Do you remember that? It's so bad. I can't bring myself to even think about what the real words are. That old rock and roll. It was just... The other members of the band, it must make them incandescent with rage just thinking about it. But I seem to remember him at the end of that going, "Mic drop." But I think he went, "Oh no, I won't, because it's expensive."
Good, I respect that.
Yeah, that was better. Although he might have just dropped it. I can't remember which. I feel like this show, we've gone down tangents and I've set myself up going, I have a half remembered thing about that. And then I go, oh, not nearly a half. About
Namaste.
A tenth. Namaste.
But the Usos are part of that big family, aren't they?
They are, yeah. They are
there any of those? I want to follow the members of that family who are accountants. Are there any who didn't become wrestlers?
I don't think there were. Right. So their dad is Rikishi. Mm. I was watching, there's a really good WWE Network documentary on Yokozuna.
Nice.
Yokozuna, one of the wrestlers that I don't really, I'm not that interested in. He
pops up and you go, wow.
He does, yeah.
But then, you know, you forget everything. I
just, you know, but this documentary does a really, really good job of going, here is the guy who played it. And actually going, for his size, he was amazing. A lot of the wrestlers talk about what a great performer he was, which is basically because they sort of just go, how he could move is remarkable, yeah, considering how big he was. It's a really, really good documentary. And what it does is it talks to a lot of the family. And there are so many of them. There is only one who I think was the Samoan Savage, who now looks, or Samu, who's lost weight and looks more like a regular Joe. The others are all just wrestlers. Everyone is a wrestler and they all look like wrestlers. It's a really good documentary, really worth seeing. This match, absolutely no reason for this to be three falls either. I don't understand why that was done.
Yeah.
Gable and Benjamin lose both in quick succession. The first fall, it goes on forever. And the problem with the first fall in the two out of three falls match, you know you have to get over the first one for the second and third to mean anything. Mm. So you just sort of watch that. They do it for ages and ages and ages and ages.
And then they have they lose the two falls straight after that. What I was looking at is going, well, this is something obviously you teach your audience. Mm. And you say, when we have a three falls match, we don't always go team A win the first one, team B win the second one. And then, we have the third one, yeah, who will win. Teams can lose two falls. But I don't think they've done a three falls match since. So I don't know who they're teaching. But also, I mean, why waste everyone's time? Just have something that people want to see.
Yeah, it's just very indefinite, doesn't it?
It ends with a small package and it comes really, really suddenly out of nowhere. I mean, it was just... What I got to this point, having watched all the pre-show as well, I was looking at this and going, everyone's working incredibly hard, the wrestlers. They're all working really, really hard and they're putting in great sort of matches. They're working. And they're all let down by the booking in this. Mm. It comes to the end and you go, they're just doing stuff that doesn't make any sense, where AJ Styles beats the two, without any need for any help or, them making a mistake. You then get a 2 out of 3 falls match. They get 2 straight falls and things. Mm. So I watched all this and I thought, this is going to be a badly booked Royal Rumble, isn't it? Because we've seen at the minute the booking is really causing problems for the rest of this show.
Yeah.
And, they swerved me. And that's good booking.
So they tricked you.
I would look at this
sucked
and I
go, in.
I actually, there's part of me that goes, I think this was badly booked solely to make me go, well, this Royal Rumble's going to be crap, and then enjoy it even more. We are on to the Men's Rumble. They do stats at the start of this, and the Royal Rumble is really the only real sports stats that WWE can do. Mm. Because people are never there for the same amount of time, you can't go, his WrestleMania record is 3-0 or, 4-2, because you're like, oh, well, this is, it's just apples and oranges.
Yeah.
With the Royal Rumble, you can actually concentrate on that. And so they give some great stats. 869 entrants had taken part up to 2018. Kane had 43 eliminations. They mentioned 52 Hall of Famers had been in the Rumble. 6 superstars had lasted over an hour. They don't mention one of them, of course, that being Benoit. right, you don't expect them to. No. And they mentioned that cumulatively, Chris Jericho had the longest stint in the Royal Rumble over the years at 4 hours, 58 minutes and 12 seconds. It's a really, really good intro. And it makes you sort of go, oh yeah, this is important and historic and it feels like sports.
Well, didn't they sort of do a... didn't they sort of go on and sort of go, they all of the wrestlers together would be this heavy?
Yeah.
And it was like... But it was only the size of like 3 trucks. And I was like, that doesn't seem like much because there were some big wrestlers in there.
I suppose there's a limit as to what men can be. And
yeah,
if they're twice your weight...
There's a limit as can be.
They start off with the Lion of Bulgaria, a sort of nickname they didn't really use very often for Rusev. He comes up with Aiden English. And what you see here is there's snapshots of the year where you haven't seen the stuff that builds up to it. So Rusev is incredibly over at this point because Aiden English sings the phrase Rusev Day.
Yeah, what is that?
It go over so big for reasons I can't really fathom. I certainly can't remember. And there is a funny thing about WWE. Sometimes you sort of go, I wonder where that came from. And what you have to do is you have to Google it. And then, you don't really get a conclusive answer.
So I Google it. It just seemed like mush. I was just like, I just don't know where it came from, why it exists, why that date is significant.
I think it was one of those odd things where I think it might have been his birthday and they said, we're going to have a Rusev Day. Right. And then people were like, often these things
don't
make much sense, they come quite organically.
Mm.
And they come organically because the fans want them to be big.
Yeah.
Things like Daniel Bryan's Yes, that was him sort of, not really trying to get it over so much as people picking up on it very quickly and adopting it. What you saw here with Rusev is something that I think was just, nobody ever planned it to be a thing. And then it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Those are the things that do get over. The stuff you plan is never as good as the stuff that just pops up. And with something like Rusev Day, that fell into WWE's hands. It's so over. You forget these things because they're big for 2 years and then they just totally disappear. You see more of them going on as well with Elias, for example, where he comes out and he says, who's ready to walk with Elias? And everyone shouts that. And it made him get over to... It's sort of like Fandango's music. The whole, those bits that you just don't know are suddenly going to become popular. For these guys who, then again, it's slightly held against them that they've gone off plan. In at number 2 is Finn Balor. And he comes in wearing an ox blood sort of leather jacket. He turned up on NXT the other day with another sort of weird leather jacket. I think he's got really, really bad dress sense.
Right, okay.
I think if you went to his house and you opened up his wardrobe, you'd be like, there's nothing to wear.
There's nothing a normal human would
yeah,
have.
Yeah, it's sort of like he's too fashionable for wrestling.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know how footballers will often wear stuff that you're a bit like, I bet that was expensive.
Yeah.
When wrestlers wear the stuff that if you were a footballer, you'd go, I think that looks expensive. When they're wrestlers, you go, oh, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You must have got that cheap. at this pay-per-view, after the first two get in the ring, there's a new trend starts, which is when the countdown happens, for the first time, the fans begin going, ah!
Right.
Making the buzzer noise.
Yeah.
That is, I think 2018 is the first year where that happens. I love it. I really, really like it. Yeah. Three, two, one. I like people doing that. They bring up Rhino, who's an ECW original, at number three.
He's an original in my heart, Mark. I love how big he is. He's a big, big boy.
Rhino has got a little bit heavier than when he was in his prime.
Yeah.
He looks like a spam out of the tin. He is literally, therefore, porky. He's gone a
bit. Yeah.
I didn't remember him being this King Kong Bundy-esque.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'm loving it. I'm big on that. I don't know how Corbin got him out.
little chunky boy. Baron Corbin, as you say, next. They boo Corbin, not with hatred, but with disappointment and frustration, I think. He's managed to keep that low level sort of turn away heat going throughout the whole of his career. It's a remarkable sort of achievement. He immediately they have him eliminate Rhino just so that they can have him hated more by the Philadelphia crowd. And then he's eliminated straight after by Finn Balor.
Yeah.
That's the first bit where you go, they're booking this cleverly because they do sort of go, oh, that's a traditional thing. He dumps him out, but then they get the cheer. So, you know, you're back, if you like, to the first two. What you're seeing is set pieces.
Yeah.
And there is a sense on this, and I think it's probably because they were doing two in a night, where they've gone, we really need to make this one tight so that it keeps interest going because we've got another one coming up after this.
Yeah, I think when we've sort of seen bits and bops of Royal Rumbles before, I think we get excited because we are Wrestle Me and we like the wonky stuff. But I think here, like a lot of the, when spots are happening, everyone's very respectful and they just kind of find a way of getting busy somehow.
Yeah.
And so it's a really professional, I think it loses a bit because it is very, very professional, but yeah, I see what you mean. It is kind of people doing the spot, getting out of the way and letting
completely
the thing
kind of work. What I did actually think about as we were doing this, I was like, it's quite difficult for us to do a conversation about the Royal Rumble. It's a 45-minute thing with 30 people involved in it and lots of different bits. And what, as you say, what you don't get is you don't get those bits where you go, there was a great bit where, you know, he's really flapped out because everything is polished and flying. We are entering, I suppose, at this period, a real era of professionalism where everybody has, you know, is clear-headed, working hard for the company. Nothing shows that clear in the KFC Colonel Battle Royal, by the way. They are willing to do whatever is asked of them. And so there is a level of professionalism that makes this a thoroughly unedifying WrestleMe experience. Heath Slater comes down. Again, you know, they've just gone, well, you know, no one thinks that Heath Slater is going to win this and go to WrestleMania. So let's do something with him. And what they have is they have him sort of get clotheslined by Corbin, who is heading out of the ring. Yeah. And he never makes it to the ring. So he's just constantly, as he gets up, the next person will batter him, you know, nicely done. I just think, you know, a bit of creativity. With a character like him, you know, you're never going to go, he's a killer. So why not give him something that's memorable, that feeds into his character and gives him something to do? They are making value out of a character that they just disregard most of the time. And on the, you know, a big stage. I really found myself loving Heath Slater after this. I was just like, oh, it's a really fun bit that kept on going. And every time it came back, I was like, yes, I do want to see more of it. I do. Elias comes out. He's been given the Honky Tonk Man's gimmick.
Right.
So he's just a guy with a guitar. The thing I like about him was when they first gave him that, he couldn't play it. And so he would have to get out there and strum it. And some of the notes you'd go, that is a note. That is a sort of strum. And some of it you'd be like, he cannot play the guitar.
Oh,
that is just
he seems quite
a hit and hope.
He seems quite good at, you know.
In this era of professionalism, Pete, He went out there and he went, do you know what? If I'm going to have to go out with the guitar and play it, I might as well learn to play the guitar. And so by this point, he's actually become, you know, perfectly good at it.
Yeah.
His catchphrase, that who wants to walk with Elias? Walk with Elias is an acronym for WWE, obviously.
Right.
So just a strange bit of corporate that you're like, I've got my catchphrase and it's also like, you know, running through it is WWE DNA. It's just weird.
Walk with Elias. Run afterwards, Raw.
Nice. Nice. Good. Good. I'm not doing any SmackDown. Again, it comes from a period where I imagine, I have a feeling like it was a John Cena thing about him saying, you know, you're all WWE. Well, you know, they are too. And we walk with a lot. I can't even remember what it was. Right. It just comes from a period where these things didn't happen on big shows. They happened in the episodic TV.
Mm.
And if you missed one episode, you just had to sort of go, I'll get up to speed with this. I have no idea what it is. I was thinking about this, about like, you know, when you, about, especially with things like The Miz winning the belt.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, as a casual fan, is it possible to get into wrestling?
If I didn't have you,
yeah,
I just wouldn't be able to.
I look at bits like this and I kind of go, obviously I was busy in 2018. I was probably doing this. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I wasn't sitting around watching as much WWE. And so there are big gaps in my knowledge as to what these are. And I just sort of think, you know, maybe that's, you know, two things out of this Royal Rumble that I go, I don't know what they are.
Mm.
Imagine just turning on like SmackDown now and you'd be going, so much work I've got to do just to even put names to these people,
yeah,
let alone what their relationships are and let alone where all their little bits come from. This is just, I mean, it's, I can't, it's like walking into a D&D game that's like two thirds of the way through,
yeah,
and sort of going, I'll pick it up. No, you won't, you know. Just, well, I'm having a go, nerds.
Here's your D50.
Can I be the dungeon master now? No,
that's not it.
Playing
works.
It for 2.5 weeks.
Oh, these pretty. Can I have it? Don't take it off the board.
You open a door, please. Can you leave, please? What's in
that? Like a military junta or a military takeover for the dungeon master. So going, you open a door, and you're not the dungeon master. I am the dungeon master.
I'd love to do it. That they go, well, okay, you can do it for an hour, and just go, okay, then you open the door. Immediately, a boulder crushes you. The game is over.
You're all dead.
I will need your subs in. Right, I don't know if people pay subs. Is it Games Workshop?
Do they not do? I reckon Games Workshop allow some of the kids stink in there.
we'll see you next week. A wrestle me paid.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.